That's awesome. And if you sign up for high school ministry, you can see Scotty every night, every Sunday night, hang out with them. High school leaders, middle school leaders, children's ministry, they're some of my favorite people, the things that they do, the things they give up so that they can serve those youngest ones in our church. I'm so grateful for them. So thank you to all of you who invest in the lives already of those young ones here in our church. I love to hear those stories of individuals who can go back and look back through their history and pinpoint the people in their lives who have come alongside them at some point and held them up so that they could have a more clear picture of who Jesus is. It's incredible to think about those people that have stepped into our lives and lifted us up so that we might see Jesus. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. If you've been here last week, this week, you see we're doing this It's Personal series. And in the office, we call these Sundays Recruitment Sundays. Because that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to recruit us as a church into volunteering and caring for those who are coming behind us, whatever that might look like. We all have someone that's coming behind us that we can serve and step into their lives. And you might think, why would you give up two Sundays to do that? We do that because we see incredible value in stepping into others' lives and serving. If you were with us last year, we said we see it as life being on the line, eternal life, and we might just be the ones that God has called to step into someone else's life to hold them up to see Jesus. Because really, we all need that in our lives. We understand that sometimes we just need a little boost so that we can see things more clearly. For example, this happened just a few times in the last few weeks here. I took my family to the movies. We went to see Toy Story 4. And so we get in there, we sit in the seats, and Addie's got like the best seat in the house right in the middle of the theater, perfect view of the screen. And then in comes this giant of a man, right? The guy that you're like holding your breath, just waiting to see where he's going to sit. And he's getting closer. You're like, no. And then he stands right in front of Addie and sits down. Yeah, and Addie just looks around like, what's going on? And so she hops up quick, and we run to the back of the theater to get that booster seat so she can sit. And that 6 inches is all she needed to be able to have that boost so that she could clearly see the screen. Fast forward a few weeks later, we're at the zoo, and we're walking around, and the zoo seemed like it was designed, that all the cages, all the tanks, all the enclosures for children about 1 inch taller than my son Levi. And so at every cage, every enclosure, Levi's standing there waiting for a hoist up so that he can see clearly what is in that cage, right? We understand how a higher vantage point always gives us a clearer picture, but here's what we find. Often we can't get that vantage point on our own. We need something or someone to lift us up. That's why I loved studying this story that we're going to look at this morning. I want you to start turning in your Bibles to Luke 19, okay? And when you get there, you're going to see the name of the story we're going to read, and you're like, I know this story. I've read it a million times because it's the story of Zacchaeus. And even when I found out this is what we were going to be preaching on this week, I thought, everyone knows that story. I don't really care to read that, right? In fact, we all have that down pretty good after like second grade of Sunday school. We sang the song plenty of times to know the story of Zacchaeus, right? Is it really necessary for us to study that? And I was kind of blown away by what I found in Scripture as I was studying this a little bit more closely this week. And so I'm excited to share it with you. Now, Zacchaeus, we know the story. If you grew up in Sunday school, you sang the song, right? Zacchaeus was notorious for being what? A wee little man. I'm sure he was pleased as punch to get to heaven and find out he would be known forever as a wee little man, right? That's what everybody wants. What we actually find out in the story of Zacchaeus, though, is that his being vertically challenged was actually the least of his problems, okay? They should have written a second verse to that song to tell you who Zacchaeus really was. Because he had plenty of issues that needed to be worked out besides being a wee little man. Zacchaeus was a hated man. Zacchaeus was born into a Jewish family. He was a Jew, and he grew up and decided to become a tax collector. Now, the Jewish people hated the tax collectors because they collected taxes for the Roman Empire. And so the Roman Empire would come along, collect the money, and they knew that the money was going to a pagan empire and to pagan gods, and they hated that. So they already hated tax collectors. Then along comes Zacchaeus, and he decides, you know, there's money in collecting taxes, so I'm going to join up with the Roman Empire and collect taxes for them. And so now all the other Jewish people, they already hate tax collectors. And now Zacchaeus is going to become one. So he's not just a tax collector, he's a traitor. And on top of that, we find in verse 1 and 2 that Zacchaeus is a wealthy man. He's a wealthy man because what would happen is he would go and collect taxes, what was owed to the Roman Empire. But then he would throw a little bit on top for himself. And after a few years of pocketing that money, we find out that Zacchaeus became very wealthy, a very rich man. There's plenty of things going against Zacchaeus that made his own people hate him. He was a tax collector. He was a traitor. He was a cheat. Okay, Zacchaeus was the original, maybe you're not familiar with this term. Anyone ever heard the term hate the face? No? Like, that's a hate the face person. Like, you see their face and you're like, ah, I can't even stand to look at them. There's just something about them. Zacchaeus was an original hate the face. People hated to see him come. They couldn't even look at his face. So they were so disgusted by him, right? Everything about him was off. Everything about him was wrong, which is crazy because Zacchaeus' name actually meant pure and innocent. And he was anything but. And his very own people would look at him as disgusting and unclean. He had plenty of things going against him. But here's what we're going to find, and we started this discussion last week. Jesus is going to get personal. He's going to become personally involved and invested in people's lives. Today, we're going to see he becomes personally involved and invested with the life of a tax collector who's hated by everyone around him. But the response that he receives from Zacchaeus is very different than the responses other people have gotten. Because we're going to find that Jesus gets involved and invested personal with Zacchaeus. And here's what happens when we get personal with people. We hear their stories. And their stories lead us to look at them differently. An example of this, my daughter Julia, she was away at camp 2 weeks ago. And she had met a friend there and they got to talking. And this girl was telling her how she's only up in Pennsylvania for the summer, and then she has to fly back down. She lives with her mom in the winter, and she just goes back and forth. And this is very foreign to Julia, and this upset her that this little girl had to do this. And she said to us over the weekend as we were visiting with her, it's crazy how when you hear the stories of what people go through, you look at them differently. You understand why they do the things they do, why they might say the things they say when you get personal and hear their story. What we find all throughout Scripture is Jesus gets personally involved in the lives of people. And what happens is he sees them differently than those around. So here is a guy like Zacchaeus who would be hated, and Jesus is going to see him differently. Because we find in 1 Samuel, God sees not as man sees. Why is that? Because God sees us individually. He sees us on a personal level. The Jews hated the tax collectors. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. But Jesus has very different interactions. In fact, you might be surprised to hear this. Every time that tax collectors are mentioned in Luke's, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 6 times, every time that tax collectors are mentioned alongside of Jesus, they have a positive response to Jesus. They either accept his teaching, or some of them, they just straight up start following Jesus, like Levi follows Jesus. People who were hated, but when Jesus gets personally involved, we see a very different interaction and a very different response. So here we have this guy, Zacchaeus. He's wealthy, tax collector, hated. And he heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he wanted to see Jesus. Which is a good reminder to us, because everyone that knew Zacchaeus would think there's no way he would ever want to see Jesus, but indeed he did. And surely there are people in our lives who we write off and say they wouldn't ever want to respond or hear the gospel, so we're just not going to tell them. Let Zacchaeus be a reminder to us that sometimes we're surprised. Zacchaeus wanted to see, not just see Jesus, not be entertained by Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So Zacchaeus had a number of issues that were keeping him from seeing Jesus. The crowd was huge. And the crowd was full of people who would love to take a shot at this wee little man, Zacchaeus. Right? This crowd was not a safe place for him to be. And so the story goes on that he runs ahead and climbs up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. What we find is Jesus was actually pursuing Zacchaeus. The story starts out, we think it's Zacchaeus going out to find Jesus, when all along Jesus is pursuing Zacchaeus. I love what Charles Spurgeon says in response to this. He says, "Zacchaeus went up a tree that he might see Jesus, but he himself was seen by Jesus. And that is the first act in the process of salvation. Jesus looks at us, then we look at him. Christ does not leave it to ourselves to seek him, or else it would be left indeed. For so vile is human nature that although heaven be offered and though hell thunder in our ears, yet there never was and there never will be a man who, unconstrained by sovereign grace, will run in the way of salvation. Thus, if you are seeking God today, you can know that it is only because of the Savior's kindness in taking the initiative to see you first." We think that Zacchaeus is pursuing Jesus when it's Jesus pursuing Zacchaeus all along. And so we get to this moment where Jesus comes to the base of this tree. And remember, we talked about this last week. Crowds of people, but Jesus sees an individual. Again, a crowd of people, but Jesus sees an individual. As weird as it might have been to see a grown man climbing a tree, Jesus stops at the base of that tree and sees Zacchaeus. And the first word out of Jesus' mouth is what? His name. He calls Zacchaeus by name. That's huge. Now, I'm sure that Zacchaeus had been called plenty of names as a tax collector, as a traitor, as a cheat. But I doubt he was often called by name. And yet here Jesus is in the midst of a crowd calling up to Zacchaeus by name. Now listen, hearing our name spoken communicates something to us. Hearing our name means we are known. Okay, and the opposite is true. Like, say you go to Starbucks today, and the barista asks you your name, and you clearly say it. And then they write something on the cup that's clearly not your name. And then they call out above the crowd the name that's clearly not your name, but you know it's your coffee. Okay, that communicates something to you. This barista does not know me. But on the flip side, when people say our names, it communicates that we are known. For instance, there's a little joke that Kelsey and I have. Like, Kelsey, if you write her name, she knows whether you care for her or not by how you spell her name. If you write K-E-L-S and then you add an E before the Y, she knows you don't care for her. Well, you could care for her, you just don't know how to spell her name. But that communicates something. I have a little joke when people ask what my name is. I clearly enunciate it. It's Aaron. Two A's in a row make the sound Aaron, okay? When people can't hear the difference between Aaron and Aaron, that bothers me, okay? So be careful next time. But that communicates It communicates something to us. When we are known by name, when we hear our name spoken, it communicates to us that we are known. Jesus is standing at the base of the tree, looks up, and calls out Zacchaeus by name. He is known by Jesus. And at that moment, because he is personally seen and known, we see that Zacchaeus immediately comes down from that tree and welcomes Jesus in. Jesus saw him and got down on a personal level with him, and it resulted in a life changed. All the people saw this. They began to mutter, right? They hated that Jesus was going to go to this tax collector's house. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus got personal with Zacchaeus and the results were eternal. Now we're not privy to a lot of the conversation that takes place here in this story. We see Jesus call Zacchaeus by name. They go back to the house. We don't hear a lot of the discussion until this. But what we do know is Jesus took the time to be personally involved in the life of Zacchaeus, and the response is an eternally changed life. Jesus gets personal, and Zacchaeus experiences life change. But what if I were to tell you that this personal interaction actually had been arranged far longer back than Zacchaeus' birth? What if I were to tell you that this interaction was in the works for hundreds, maybe thousands of years? What if God knew far in advance that Zacchaeus would need a little boost from something or someone to hold him up and see Jesus? Let me explain where I'm going here. We all know the kind of tree that Zacchaeus crawled up in that day, right? What kind of tree was it? A sycamore tree, right? Sycamore fig tree here in Luke. Very specific. And whenever I see something specific like that in Scripture, it kind of like makes me pay attention. Because if I were in that story, I'd say he just crawled up a tree. But Luke specifically tells us a sycamore fig tree. That caught my interest. And so I had a slow week this week, so I decided to start researching sycamore trees. And I'm going to share that information with you. And it's going to blow you away. Sycamore trees are really incredible trees. Here's a picture of one, okay? The sycamore tree is pretty amazing. It kind of got its popularity with the Egyptian civilization. The trees could grow 50 feet tall, but they had these thick, low branches, making it easy for children and small men to climb, okay? And the Egyptian civilization, they played a huge role. They used every single bit of the tree. They used the wood to make the caskets for like their pharaoh and for the nobles and people like that. They would use the leaves to make a healing tea. They would eat the fruit off these trees. It was delightful. The sap that came out of the tree made this sweet syrup. In fact, in some of the bigger sycamore trees, they were known to be hollow inside, and people knew that in times of danger, they could seek refuge inside the sycamore tree. Isn't that cool? Now, in ancient Hebrew writings, God's people writing these things, the sycamore tree began symbolizing regeneration or new life. When you transplanted a sycamore tree, you had to do it super fast because the roots would dry out very quickly. But on the other hand, the sycamore tree had this amazing ability to regenerate. If there was a low branch on the tree that would get covered up by sand or dirt, that branch had the ability to form a new root system and create a brand new sycamore tree, thus symbolizing for them regeneration or new life. That's interesting, right? That very specifically, Luke mentions a sycamore fig tree, a tree that was known to symbolize regeneration. And here we have the story of a man who was spiritually dead, crawled up in a tree, and found life. That's cool, right? What if I told you it gets cooler? What if I told you the sycamore tree had no right being in Jericho at all? It wasn't native to Jericho. Jericho was known for lots of trees. They were known for their balsam groves. Apparently you could smell the perfume of the balsam trees for miles away. They were known for these incredible palms. They had forests of palms. They were known as the land of palms. They were not known for their sycamore trees, because sycamore trees didn't belong in Jericho. There's no reason why that tree should have been by the side of the road. A study in 2015 actually shows that the sycamore tree was brought to Israel by Philistines, which are enemies of God's people. And they were brought there during the Iron Age, which lasted from 1200 BC to 550 BC. Enemies of God's people bringing a tree into a land that apparently was very hard to transplant. And that's how the sycamore fig tree got to Jericho. It didn't belong there. It wasn't native there. What if the tree had never been brought to Jericho? What if it was a palm tree alongside the road? I've been to countries where I've seen people climb palm trees, and it looks very difficult, and they say, like, we had to learn how to do this when we were babies. People don't just climb palm trees. Zacchaeus wasn't climbing a palm tree that day. And what kind of poor city planning was it for someone to plant a sycamore fig tree right next to a road? A tree that at any moment could grow a brand new tree out of it with a root system that would bust up the road. Poor city planning. What if this sycamore tree wasn't simply an accident of Mother Nature, but a purposeful planning by a father who was personally coming after his son, Zacchaeus? God had provided a front row seat for Zacchaeus that day. And while the story originally looks like Zacchaeus pursuing Jesus, we find that it was God pursuing Zacchaeus all along, providing him the boost he needed to see Jesus that day. God had been carrying out his sovereign plan of redemption of this little Zacchaeus all along, even though most of it was being done behind the scenes. Enemies of God's people transplanting a tree into this land that was very difficult to transplant so that it might end up in Jericho, where Zacchaeus will eventually crawl up it and see Jesus. How incredible is that? To think about how God had been orchestrating this incredible story all along for that moment of personal interaction with Jesus. And it made me stop and think how God might have done that in my life and in your life. The sycamores that God has planted in our past that have held us up so that we could see Jesus more clearly. And this is a question I want you to think on today and throughout the week. Who has God put in your life to hold you up a little higher so that you could see Jesus? I want you to think through that. Make a list of people who have done that. And go back and thank them for being willing to step into your life and be used by God so that you might be able to see Jesus more clearly. I stopped and I thought about this for a little bit over these last few weeks. And I wrote down a list. And I'm going to show it to you in a second. And I know that this list is not exhaustive. And even as I stand here and look out, I realize there's some people that didn't make this list that have been crucial in holding me up to see Jesus. And so whoever I've forgotten, please know that God has not. But on this list are people who, when I was a baby, they literally held me up to see Jesus. There are people on this list who stepped into my life when I was a rambunctious elementary school student. Or when I was an obnoxious middle school student. Or when I was an obnoxious high school student. Or when I was an obnoxious... Still obnoxious, I get the point. Or they stepped into my life when I was a depressed young adult or a confused new dad, a new husband. And they all stepped into my life and held me up so that I might see Jesus a little bit more clearly. Some of the people on this list, they might be aware of it, and some might have no idea why they're on this list, but nonetheless, all of them have been put in my life by God to help me see him better. And these individuals, they share in any ministry that I get to take part in for the rest of my life. Like, their names will be mentioned alongside mine as I lay down any crowns that I might have at the feet of Jesus when I see him face to face. Individuals who decided it was important for me to see Jesus, so important that they were willing to do the grunt work of lifting me up so that I might see more clearly. And some of the people on this list are incredibly gifted people, and some are not. But they were willing to show up and hold me up so that I might see Jesus. And I ask, whose list are you going to show up on? Who will you show up for? Whether it be because you're incredibly gifted or just because you're willing to show up. Which baby that's over there in the nursery right now someday is going to be writing down this list saying, they held me up to see Jesus when I couldn't even care for myself? Which middle school student will write down your name on their list despite the fact that they never seemed to listen to a single thing you said? Like, whose list are you going to show up on because you are willing to step in and hold someone up so that they could see Jesus more clearly? The church needs more leaders to learn how to be personal because there are so many kids who are having a hard time seeing Jesus. And you and I, we might just get to be the sycamore tree that God has planted in their lives to hold them up so that they might see Jesus more clearly. So who will you show up for? Who has God put in your life today that you can hold up a little higher so that you can see Jesus, they can see Jesus? I want you to pull these cards out from wherever you stuck them. And this is like your first opportunity to get down on the ground floor of the work that God is doing in someone's life. And if you have any interest in being involved in the lives of those coming behind you, I would greatly appreciate, our ministries would greatly appreciate if you fill this out and bring it out. And this doesn't sign you up for anything. It just says, I'm interested. I want to hear more about it. I want you to take some time to fill it out and drop it out. There's a tent out there you can put it at. There's little buckets out there. You'll see the It's Personal banners. Drop it in those buckets. And this is our opportunity to step into the lives of those who are coming behind us and giving them a little hoist so that they might be able to see Jesus more clearly. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the gospel. The good news that you loved us so much that from the beginning of time you had devised a plan to pursue us and win us back from sin and Satan and evil by sending Jesus to the cross. So we thank you for his sacrifice, and we thank you that through it we might have life. God, we thank you for the sycamores, the people that you have planted in our lives who have come alongside of us and held us up so that we might see you more clearly. And we know that you've called us to do the same. So God, I pray that you'd stir up in our hearts where and when and how you want us to do that. And give us the boldness to step out and do what it is you've called us to do, God. so that we might hold up those coming behind us, that they might see you more clearly. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so again, take these cards out, drop them off in the buckets out there, talk with someone. We love you guys. We'll see you all next week.